Good morning, everyone.
Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you that we can bow down to you. We thank you for your Spirit, Lord, that you've given to each believer ever since the day of Pentecost. What a beautiful thing. You've given us the whole Bible. You've given us so much revelation in what's happening here on the earth. And with the technology today, we have overwhelmed really with all kinds of stuff. But in addition, we do see what's happening around the world as if never before. So, Lord, you've prepared us. Time is short. We all know that. We're here to seek you this morning and to praise your name as well. So lead us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you were at a prophecy conference yesterday, and we who were there are all kind of filled up with some things we've never heard before, updates and all. And, you know, it doesn't change the prediction of when the church is going to be raptured, because we're not told the hour. So we don't want to go there. But we do want to recognize that more and more and more things are coming into focus that have never come before. And I was just thinking about this one verse here in the Gospel of Luke, which you're familiar with. It's in chapter 21, I believe, verse 25, I think it is. But Luke 21:25 says, "And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations." You think we got distress of nations today? "With perplexity." You think there's perplexity? "The sea and the waves roaring." Now listen to this. You know it. "Men's hearts failing them from fear." We've never had international fear, I don't think, in the history of the world as we have right now. And think of how this has come about. We've got this pestilence out there, which is very non-fatal. It doesn't even get on a scale of fatality pestilences. Think of the Black Plague and all the other stuff. In past pestilence, they always took track the death rate, right? Well, first of all, we packed the death rate so much with COVID today, they're even doing now, they're putting down everybody who dies from COVID as unvaccinated. Doesn't matter if they've been vaccinated or not. Well, that's what's happening, because that's the mantra, right? But think about what's happening. It's a very infectious disease. So when you concentrate on the infections, you're always going to have infections. I don't care how many vaccines you have. And now it's, I mean, Australia now, they've gone totally bonkers. They got soldiers out at night arresting people for breaking the curfew. And we're not far behind that either, right? Our president a couple of days ago really said what? We don't have to obey the Constitution when we're in an emergency. I don't see us turning from the Constitution, World War I or World War II. I think they've got a bigger emergency for this nation than COVID is. But at any rate, not to go there, but we see the fear all priming the world for the Antichrist. That's what's happening. So we're not here today to talk about prophecy, but we are here today to be encouraged about being ready to be taken out. And that means we don't have much time left, I believe. When we are taken out, we're with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. You won't be praying for future salvations, I don't believe. I don't believe you'll be investing in anybody's future security when we cross over. I think our time is short. We're told to what? Pray the Lord to send out workers in the harvest. This is a harvest. It's not going to be harvest time after the church is out in the same way. Yeah, martyrs can come to the Lord during the tribulation. That's a tough way. So the church is about done. And we're the church. So we have 1 week less than we had last Saturday. And one of these Saturdays will be our last Saturday. Maybe today, I'm not sure. But at any rate, we want to go back to the Psalm of the Ascents is where we are. There's 15 of these Psalms of Ascents. And it's primarily Jewish. It's primarily for the children of Israel as they would make their way back to Jerusalem for the feasts. And so we started out last time at kind of the low, "Lord, I cry out in distress." Now today, we're starting up the hill. And so we're going to be looking at the hills today And you can imagine him going up the hills. And it's not a great, it's not a freeway. It's not a paved sidewalk. It's rocky and it's narrow and it's difficult. And I was thinking, well, that's Israel. Well, what about you? What about me? Where are we on the road to? Is it not to Jerusalem? Now, we're going to have a little detour. We're going to go to heaven first and then come back. But we're on our way to Jerusalem, right? And the way is narrow. The way is rocky. Anybody having any rocks in their path? Oh, no, we're doing spoon. So I think this fits us very well in that regard as well. So as we look at Psalm 121, there are six words here in this psalm. Three of them are translated keep, and three of them are translated preserve, but it's the same Hebrew word. And so keeping us and preserving us is kind of an underlying word in this particular psalm. As we go through it, verse 1, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps, there's the first one, he who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps, is the second one, Israel, shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper, there's the third one. He is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by night, nor the moon by day, nor the moon by night. Verse 7, the Lord shall, there's the fifth one, or fourth one, he shall preserve you or keep you or guard you, is another one, or put a hedge around you. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve, another one, your soul. The Lord shall preserve, the last one, that's the sixth one, you're going out and you're coming in. So if you put those six words down and then you see what he's going to do with each one of them, that's the psalm as I see it. So as we read that, then the first verse is, I'm lifting my eyes to the hills. So they're taking them walking up toward Jerusalem. Now you go up to Jerusalem, whatever direction you go, because Jerusalem's the highest point in that part of Israel. And so as you're going up, you're starting to see, getting closer to the destination, right? Now, some of these people have been going for miles. They may have had a ship ride from who knows where in the Mediterranean, or they may have had a long overland ride on camels or wherever, but they're pretty much walking, and they're walking up the hill now. And so I lift up my eyes to the hills. I'm looking up to Jerusalem, towards Jerusalem. When whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. The hills aren't going to help you. It's the Lord who's going to help you. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth, again, the Creator, coming from Jehovah here, Yahweh, who made heaven and earth. And then the promise, He will not allow your foot to be moved. In other words, as you're walking on those narrow, this narrow path, and you're stepping on rocks and other unsure footing, He's not going to let your feet come out from under you. Now, I think that's very comforting. We're walking in a tough time right now. Always has been, but it's a lot of distractions out there. A lot of distractions to take us off the path, right? But we have here, He will not allow your foot to be moved if you depend on Him and follow His word. He who keeps you, guards you, protects you, will not slumber. Do you ever pray and you get an answer, no, the office is closed, I'm sleeping? I don't think so. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Are you worried about Israel today? Well, if you look at what's happening over there, you'd be very worried. They're really being ruled now by the Muslim Brotherhood in conjunction with, that's the coalition there that finally got Netanyahu out. So we've got the Muslims helping with the government of Israel. I mean, isn't it amazing? We got China buying the ports there in Haifa and all that stuff. And so we've got so much admixture here, even in Israel. But that's not the Israel we're talking about. We're talking about the covenant Israel, not the worldly Israel. And he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. We know the great battle now is coming soon, we believe. And, you know, the U.S. had to be taken out of the picture. As long as the U.S. is in the picture, I don't think you're going to have an invasion by the stands, by the seven stands, and Russia and Turkey. But now that way's open, right? So Ezekiel 38 is wide open. Now, it wasn't open a month ago. Well, maybe a month ago. It wasn't open 6 months ago, right? Never before. And it's, to me, that's totally amazing. But the jihad, which is behind a lot of that, will not survive that battle, will it? That battle, they're going to be taken by hooks in the jaw and defeated, and that's the end of jihad. So jihad is not becoming enemy. Becoming enemy is the Antichrist, I believe. I mean, we know that's true. The question is, we don't know when exactly, but it's all pointing in that direction. So behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber or sleep. And now what? The Lord is your keeper. Is he? Is he really your keeper? Are you really depending on him? Well, I depend on him until times get really tough, and then I'm kind of wondering, hey, Lord, I don't know about this. It doesn't seem like you're in it at all to me. Maybe none of you have any lack of faith, but he is our keeper. We need to remember that. He is our provider. He is our protector. He is our preserver. He is our keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day. Now, what does that mean? Why is the right hand? Well, the majority of, not the Benjamites, but the majority of the Israelites as today are right-handed. So what do you carry in your left hand? You carry the shield. So you got the shield here that keeps the sun off of you. You don't need to get sunburn on the left side concerned, but you do on the right side. So here's what it says, I think. The sun shall not strike you on your right hand. The Lord is your shade. He protects him. Of course, he had the cloud over all of Israel by day, didn't he? The Lord is your shade. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Now, what does that mean? I think it's poetic, but if you try to really explain that, I don't think you're going to get moonburn. Yeah. But the Oriental desert nights are quite cold, and there was often frostbite, which you could get from the cold. So you can get burned from frostbite as well, if you want to look at it that way, I think. But nevertheless, he's going to protect you day and night. That's the way I look at that verse. He's going to protect you day and night. And listen to this, verse 7, the Lord shall preserve you or keep you from all evil. Wow. Good to be a Christian, isn't it? Wow. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. What did Jesus say? He who lives and believes in me shall never die. Unbelievable promises we have. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve or keep or protect, guard your going out and your coming in. Isn't that good? Anybody? Well, I think nobody is sleeping on this property, right? So you all got here some way today. You know, the Lord must have protected us to get us here. We're living very close. We only have to go through one intersection, but even how do you get through that one intersection without being protected? I mean, you're looking, you know, lights go green, doesn't matter, the cars keep coming. But he shall preserve your going out and your coming in. When? From this time forth and even forevermore. We say hallelujah to that. Isn't that awesome? Oh, Lord, you're so good. Well, I was thinking of this old hymn. This is an old hymn. The writer is Augustus Toplady. He was born in 1740 and he died in 1778. That's about the same time our nation was born, right? About 450 years ago, plus or minus. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. So let's just sing this as we prepare ourselves for prayer. Rock of ages.
Rock of ages, left for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side flowed, be of sin the double pure, save from wrath and make me pure.
Would my tears
throne, and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee.
Let me hide myself in thee.
Father, lead us now in this time of prayer by your Spirit, and may we pray as led by you, thereby being in one accord, agreeing with each prayer. Well, as we come to a close here, we've got a lot of things to pray for, as we know. And I thought about giving a great exhortation to you, but I don't think you need that as much as you do. A recognition of, my help comes from the Lord. Or is he able? So let's just sing this. He is able. You know this, but we need to be reminded of it.
He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle
is able, is he not? I took the liberty of printing out the prayer request for Uganda again on the back sheet of the prayer request, and Ed was able to get into the refugee area, and the last 2 days they saw 150 coming to Christ and 30 to 40 committed to an ongoing discipleship class. So, you know, where we have the exhortation, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. This is an actual laboring spot right now with pastors there native pastors, knowing the language, knowing the customs, and a great opportunity because of that volcano. Over a million people had to be evacuated or leave in that volcano. So, and these other ministries as well. This is obviously, there's a lot of things to pray for as the Spirit would lead you. But here is a direct prayer for feet on the ground and outreach is going on a pretty much a daily basis. And there's no waste here. It's there's no administrative fees or travel time or visa problems or anything else. It's going on. So great thing to pray for. Father, I do lift up all of the work that's going on around the world, Lord, and it is you, Lord. But we do want to pray for your Spirit because it's all a spiritual issue. And we just pray for great, great harvest. You will harvest at your timing and so forth. But we pray for the discipling, Lord, because that is so needed. And Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for each one here who has a heart to pray. And as we go forward this day, may we use this day if you give us all day, this whole day of the 11th, and remembering back to the prices paid. And I still think of the Arlington Cemetery of sending on wherever we look in every direction and seeing 400,000 crosses there. You can't see them all, but they're there of just people who in past wars have fought and died for what you've done in this nation. And Lord, you're not done with it yet, but we see the whole world kind of coming together in this one world order thing. And we just see that as an encouragement in a way, because it's just closer to your return. And we so look forward to that. Bless and guide in Jesus' name. Amen.